Well, something strange is going on in the weather department in so many states, and we're going to focus in now on Iowa. Our next guest is Matt Russell. He's the State Food and Policy Project Coordinator for Drake University Agricultural Law Center. Very happy to have some academic experts on our show today in Des Moines, Iowa. And Matt, thanks for joining us. D.R. Tucker, my co-host, who unfortunately couldn't join us today, was kind enough to line up this and our other segments today, helping behind the scenes this week. You are talking about some pretty strange things that you're noticing, revealed in this article in the Gazette just about a month ago. But don't know how the weather is now, but you certainly, especially in nearby Illinois, saw some really out-of-season and record-breaking in terms of destructive tornadoes in Illinois. I'm remembering in Peoria and Washington just last month. What's going on in Iowa that caused you to sort of sound the alarm?
Yeah, well, it's great to be with you. Thanks for the invitation. And I work here at Drake University. My husband and I also farm, and really the article came out of I'm 43, except for a few years of being out of state doing educational stuff. I've pretty much been involved in agriculture in Iowa all my life. And, I mean, this year was just really crazy in terms of the volatility and the extremes. And it really is a lot of what the scientists have told us is going to look like, climate change is going to look like. And so what I was writing about, and certainly here at the Agricultural Law Center, we're certainly following these issues and looking at the policy implications of it. But climate change is very real, and it's having a tremendous impact all over the globe as far as a whole wide array of things, you know, of effects. But agriculture is one of those that's having a big impact on, and here in Iowa, where agriculture is so very important to our state, it's having a tremendous impact, and it's not something that's happening in the future. It's happening right now, and this year was really something pretty incredible, and as you pointed out just a few weeks ago in Illinois, it continues to be pretty incredible.
Mm. You talk about having the worst blizzard on your farm in last May. There was a snowstorm, a foot of heavy, wet snow. You were a couple of days without power, and you remember thinking, quote, "I suppose there's some place in the world where you can listen to frogs in the snow, but it shouldn't be happening in Iowa. Climate change means the wrong weather at the wrong time." Well put.
Yeah,
disturbing,
yeah.
As it is.
Yeah, that was very much the case. And that just really teed up a very strange summer of extra heavy rain and then very intense drought, very cool July, very hot September, and then, as you pointed out, you know, severe weather that we associate more with spring or summer happening in late fall.
And, you know, of course, everyone's talking about the weather, but what are we doing about it is the next question, of course. People, I think, are starting to make the connection between the carbon that we're spewing into the atmosphere and, you know, the evidence coming back and kind of slapping us in the face in the form of more extreme weather events. It's not nice to fuel Mother Nature. Do you think Americans, and since you're right there in the Midwest, are starting to, as I say often, wake up and smell the carbon and say, oh dear, we may have a real crisis here if this is going to continue to happen and, God forbid, get worse? What do we do about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a number of things happening. And one of the things I was addressing in that guest opinion piece was that, you know, there is this kind of climate change denying community, and agriculture has certainly played a role in being a part of that community. I think that's changing to some extent, not quickly enough, but I think it is changing. For example, next week, the University of Iowa here in Des Moines, they're in Iowa City, but they're hosting a conference here in Des Moines on how Iowa needs to deal with these extreme weather conditions. So I think we've moved from the nothing's happening, don't worry about it, this is all just a liberal, you know, ploy.
Hoy.
So there is this movement to, you know, there is something happening. I don't think we're to the point yet where agriculture in mass is coming to the foreground and saying, and this is caused by carbon and we've put it there and we need to do something to pull it back. So we've moved a little bit, not far enough. I think, you know, the reality is that farmers are dealing with climate change. They're putting in tile to deal with heavy rains. They're digging deeper wells to deal with the droughts. They're investing in seed technology to deal with the extreme weathers, the weather. So farmers are doing something about it. I mean, they're reacting to it, and that's been happening now for well over a decade. And they're now acknowledging that, yeah, in fact, we're doing some things about extreme weather. The real challenge, I think, is to accelerate the movement to, and we as humans have done something to cause this, because that then opens the door for farmers to say, and we can do something about it. That we're not just simply saddled with the burden of reacting to it. We can step up and do something to put more carbon back into the ground, to stop putting as much carbon into the atmosphere. And where agriculture is, you know, making climate change worse, we can stop doing those things, but we can also then start doing some things that have a really positive impact. And I'm hopeful that we're starting to move in that direction, but there's still a lot of work to be done, a lot of organizing to do, and a lot of hearts and minds to change.
We couldn't agree more. That's what we try to do, is connect those dots every week here on the program by interviewing people from around the country and even the world who are feeling the impacts of what is climate chaos. We are quite convinced. It's sort of like infrared glasses, you know, when you can see things and see those lines connecting events and even make some conclusions about what's causing it, but it's not yet apparent to the general public, and that's just starting to happen now, but we don't have time to sort of let it happen slowly and, you know, bit by bit, community by community. But I think what we do have, you know, and this is the bad news and the good news, the silver lining and the bad news of extreme weather like droughts and floods and all the variations in between, tornadoes, twisters, hurricanes, fires, people are starting to see that this is not just a far off in time or geography, you know, issue, and that I would think the next questions would be, okay, so if this is happening, what can we do? And that's why I love interviewing people who have some solutions. Since you are an expert in agriculture, you know, you must know what this does in terms of cost to farmers and then passed along to consumers. Any way to sort of gauge the costs that have gone up over the last couple of years because of these unusual cycles? Just out-of-pocket costs.
For farmers here in the Midwest, and we cover a lot of our agricultural production with risk management tools through Risk Management Agency of USDA, significantly funded. About 60% of those premiums are funded by the taxpayers. And we didn't use as much crop insurance this year as we thought we might. The yields actually kind of came out across the whole state better than people anticipated, but still lower than what should have been had we had a normal weather year. But the year before with the drought, you know, it was billions of dollars worth of indemnity payments based on crop losses. So as farming becomes more risky because of more extreme weather, if we follow the same path that we've been on, taxpayers are going to pick up a significant piece of that risk management. And then, as we see when we have low volumes of particular commodities, the price goes, you know, up, and it has an impact in, you know, through the whole supply chain. So it's not just the costs are just not to farmers. The costs are to you know, all Americans through taxes. As well.
Exactly, and that's why when we hear, you know, those who would have us do nothing about climate change saying it's too expensive to address, no, it's actually too expensive to continue to ignore. I'm afraid we are out of time, Matt. I'm sorry I didn't leave quite enough time to get through all my questions for you, but I want to tell people to check out your article in the Gazette and really appreciate your taking the time to be with us and for your contributions to the conversation that we are trying to amplify here about what's happening around our country and around our world in terms of impacts from climate change.
Hey, thanks a lot. Great to be with you.
That does it for this edition of The Green Front. If you joined us partway, you can find the archives at the prn.fm.com website or on my website, thegreenfront.com. And hope you'll tell your friends and neighbors and family members about the show, because this is for all of us, and all of us can make a difference. So we hope you get that, make the connections as we try to draw here every week for you. That does it. See you next time. Have a great green week. The green just comes.